It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I watched you struggle, and I watched you wrestle with them angels.
There he is. From Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The Auburn Arena time is 8:55 p.m. Central Standard Time. Your digital audio device is tuned to the Orange and True podcast, brought to you by the friendly folks at collegeandmagnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. It is I, CenterCrow2 on Twitter. You can find me at CenterCrow on Venmo. Joining me, via the magic of the internet, the rumor monger himself, Ryan S. Starrett. The S stands for slicked back hair. I like your slicked back hair, Ryan.
Okay.
You should do that more often.
I'm working on it. You're growing the hair out and kind of pull it back.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say the S stands for Southern, as in Texas Southern. The 0-7 team who just beat the Florida Gators and scored a basketball.
Match. I think it's an
not a good look.
I am good. I'm happy about that. It's probably the epitome of brutality. But I will say Texas Southern's like a annual tournament team.
Like, why were they 0-7? They were 240 in Ken Palm.
Yeah, because they
had a rough start to the year.
I think they played all seven of their games on the road against bigger, because they play in the SWAC. So similar to Gonzaga, yeah. They've got to get all their good RPI games early in the year.
I don't know. They lost by 15 at home to Texas Southern.
It's unbelievable.
Not great. They've got another game. This is weird. Florida plays again Wednesday.
We'll introduce you in a second, Chief.
I don't know why they would schedule another game like that. But they play North Florida. And they're 280th in KenPom, so. They should get back on track, but, they might not.
To the other side of me, bringing you the full Fort Payne ASMR that you come here for. A man of taste and leisure. A man who knows what protocol droids are good for. It's the AU Chief. You know what? I was hoping you did this today. I almost sent a text to you the second I saw that Golazo come across my timeline.
It was amazing. Ryan, Mark Gray, the best player in the world.
So football season's over and we got to do this already?
Everton Football Club is dangerously close to the relegation zone at this point in the year, for this point of the year for them. Today, not only got a W, but got a big boy win over the hated Arsenal Gunners. And may have had the goal of the year in the Premier League.
It was crazy. Well, I'll just to put it in perspective, Ryan. At this point in the season last year, Everton were in second place.
Yeah.
Today, they entered today in 16th place. 18th, 19th, 20th. Relegated. So
did they have a rough November, maybe blow some leads?
That they did, Ryan. They blew several leads along the way. They just got flat blown out a few times.
Their best player got suspended. They had some injuries.
Well, there's a ton of injuries. At the beginning of November, I did not expect another win until at least January, when Dominic Calvert-Lewin should hopefully be back. But got one today. It soothed the soul. There's still a lot wrong at Everton Football Club right now, but hey.
Like the manager is wrong. He's just a bad fit.
I actually think he is.
Sound like me.
No, the guy that they play the most lifeless, uninspiring brand of soccer right now.
They fired the guy that was the least of the problems yesterday, the director of football. I think Rafa Benitez is only the second. He's now the least of their problems. Their problems go far beyond Rafa Benitez, and it's not great.
They spend
maybe they're like Auburn.
Well, I would say this:
I was thinking about this the other day because I was thinking about baseball. Is the really the closest comp because there's no salary cap?
Sure.
If the Everton spends like a top 10 club, they spend money in transfer portal. They have expensive players. They go out and get talent. They don't spend like a top 3 club, but they spend like a top 10 club. They just don't play like one. Yeah, like the payroll is not the issue. It didn't like they got to go out and spend more money around here.
They've done the opposite of Moneyball.
Right. That's the issue.
They bought the Rangers. They have way less money than one of the top 5 clubs, but they've made purchasing decisions just like those clubs who can afford to just buy four number 10s and just see who works. And then, if it doesn't work out, Everton can't. Now they found themselves in a mess where they're like one deep, if that, at every position, and that's it. And
speaking of baseball, guys, my Texas Rangers, we didn't talk about the fact they spent over $500 million on baseball players last week.
They're not spending any money right now.
Not this week.
Yeah, nobody's.
As of this week, none of it matters.
Last week, they spent $500 million on baseball players, on like 3 guys. And I didn't know any of them because I don't follow baseball that closely. But I've been told by people who do that the Rangers got good players, which is nice to hear. If there is a baseball season next year,
should we make a trip to Arlington next summer, Chief? The Braves play at the Rangers.
Hey, more importantly, your Auburn Tigers play at the Rangers Stadium in February.
That's right. You got to.
Are they
going
to fix any of the sound issues by then?
What sound issues?
Sorry, what did you say there?
The Auburn Tigers are coming to play at the Rangers' new, the GILF, Globe Life Field.
Yeah.
They're going to play there.
Yeah, when they had a football game there, didn't they have, like, all kinds of confusion because the echoes were weird?
Well, I don't know. I don't remember them ever playing a football game there. At the new joint?
At the Rangers Stadium, yeah.
Yeah. They actually have already renamed the stadium. It was Globe Life Field.
I got
it. Affectionately called the GILF by people here, and then they're going to rename it next year Choctaw Stadium after Choctaw World Casino up in Durant, Oklahoma.
Yeah, Choctaw Nation, baby.
Yeah, I don't know. So the Indians changed their name, and the Rangers named their stadium after an Indian casino. So everything's going great.
The Indians should have, like, Just
that's what they should have done. Just had an Indian casino.
Just become the Choctaws. Go for a tribe. Or the tribe. Why don't you just call yourself the tribe?
Or let the tribe sponsor your name with their casino money, the Rangers just did.
Come on.
Yeah, so they had the Army Air Force games at the Ranger Stadium a couple weeks ago. And apparently there was a whole lot of issues with not being able to get play calls in and all kinds of stuff because – the way the echoes there, players couldn't tell where the sounds were coming from.
Oh, wild.
So, well, the national pastime shouldn't have any of those problems there this coming spring.
Atfielder's just standing around.
Are you going to take the fam, Crow?
I might. I just might. As long as the whole world hasn't melted by then. Let's talk about something happy, and that is Auburn basketball. The happiest sport on earth, the happiest man on earth, Bruce Pearl. The human... Bang energy drink can and Katie Johnson had an unbelievable week. Jeremy Henderson called him a titanium mini fridge full of liquid energy or something like that. It's pretty good. He plays like the safe being drugged behind the 2 Dodge Chargers in Fast and the Furious 5. So if you, that is how Katie Johnson plays Bruce, the game of basketball.
I don't know if you caught the video of Bruce before the game, but when he was handing out donuts to students in line, he referred to Katie Johnson as batshit crazy.
So. Yeah, okay. So we need a...
Love Bruce.
My nickname for Katie Johnson was Jaws, based on the fact that he is like... Bruce said he had blood in the water. He could smell blood in the water.
He's one of these guys that you give a new name to
everyone. He's like Animal from the Muppets playing basketball.
Killer disposition.
No. Killer disposition, Johnson. I like that. Yeah. King dude.
King Dude. That was one of the
King Dude Johnson. He had 19 points versus Yale. But I want to talk first and foremost about the game against UCF, because it was first and foremost the first and foremost game we played this last week.
Team that beat us by double digits last year.
They beat us last year. And that was a no Sharif Cooper version of the team, but they did beat us last year.
It was a tight game going into half, only a three-score game. And then all of a sudden it wasn't. Auburn ended up by 17. This was, I mean, we can go into the four factors, but really Auburn won this game just by smothering UCF trying to shoot the ball.
Yeah.
UCF's effective field goal percentage, only 39%. It's pretty much impossible to win with that.
And then their turnover rate was 23%. That's horrible.
Yeah.
This defense is just so crazy.
Okay, I'm glad you said that, Chief, because it's we thought that the Okoro year with Okoro and Javon and Samir and Flan was going to be the best defense we've had. I think this team is hands down better on defense than that team.
It is crazy. Some guys lose their man from time to time. We'll leave guy open at the three every now and then to shoot one. But just we've got so many good on-ball defenders on this team, which is crazy. Like, I've never seen that. And then we have, three, maybe four dudes inside that can protect the rim. And, I don't know what you do against this team, really. I'm sure somebody will figure it out at some point. UConn kind of gave it to us, but they had a really good day shooting the three.
You'd have to have the way to beat this team is to have a guard that is supremely confident to try to beat when Auburn's wings gamble, and then have somebody who can make high post shots. And that's really
if you had like a Sharif Cooper,
get offensive rebounds
kind of guy could hurt this team, a guy that could just get to the rim and force you to foul him. Or
I don't know if he can get to the rim.
Draw a defender to leave some other guy open. If we could have made a shot last year, we would have won a lot more games.
UConn got really hot from three, which is also that's the equalizer.
Had 30 points in a big man, too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
It doesn't hurt.
I'm worried about teams like Kentucky and Alabama, only because Kentucky has a big man that can score and rebound and get tons of offensive rebounds. And then Alabama has the best point guard prospect playing college basketball.
Even at the same time, we forced UConn to two overtimes with their big man scoring 30 points. So, and having a good day from three.
Right.
So that may be what it is. You have to have a big man and you have to have a good day from three.
Right.
To beat us. Just the intensity of our defense, too, is another thing. I think we're seeing what Bruce Pearl has always wanted to do with this team, is just turn up the intensity. And this team is doing that to, I'll say, perfection. I'm sure Bruce doesn't think it's to perfection, but that's because Bruce is Bruce.
UConn, by the way, Auburn shot 40% from three in that game. UConn shot 58% from three.
That's unbelievable.
And we still went to double overtime.
Yeah. And that's a good team.
A really good team.
Really good team. So, I'm feeling good about this team just because of how great they are on defense, that they can make up for struggling on offense, really. And we saw that in the tournament. That second game of the tournament, we didn't have a great offensive game, right? What was the final score of that one?
That was 62-53.
Yeah. So, and we still, won by 9 points.
These last three games, I mean, Auburn's played really five in a row against possible tournament teams, going back to the UConn game. But in the last three, against Syracuse, UCF, and Yale, it's been 89-68, 85-68. 86-64.
Yeah.
That's Auburn dictating what game they want to play and doing it well.
I think an interesting thing about the last few games, too, is that besides Devin Cambridge, who has been just transcendent on defense, like his offense is going to get there, or maybe it won't. Like, but his defense is good enough that he has to be on the floor. He is his defense plus, like, box plus minus is incredibly good. He's a plus player when he's on the floor in terms of just plus minus. Mm-hmm. He is so good. And, like, even the intangible
he's leading
stuff.
He's the team in both plus minus and plus minus per minute.
Yeah.
And you said, and defensive box plus minus and pretty much any defensive metric, which are notoriously hard to keep up with basketball. But Cambridge is leading the team in most of those.
Long story short,
Auburn is playing his best.
Yeah. When he's on the floor, it's good stuff. Auburn's got good stuff going.
That's prototypical glue guy stuff right there.
Yeah. And then he can get hot and hit shots. And not to call another Bammer onto the podcast, but very Robert Horry-esque game going on. Mm.
Ryan doesn't remember who that is.
So Robert Horry.
You could have just been pulled that name out of a hat. You wouldn't know.
I know the name.
Okay.
Big Shot Bob.
Big Shot Bob.
Played a million years in the NBA. Never scored more than like 10 points a game. But
one of their two famous NBA players.
The other being Latrell Sprewell?
The other one being Sprewell, who's... What?
He a Pacer?
Robert Horry?
Yeah.
No.
No. Played for the Spurs, played for the Lakers, Rockets.
Sprewell was a Warrior. Did he play for the Pacers?
Nope. Sprewell was a Warrior, then a Timberwolf, and then a Knick.
Yeah, there we go. Okay.
Famously choked his head coach when he was at
PJ
Warrior.
Carlissimo. PJ Carlissimo. One of the greatest coach names ever.
Yeah. Ryan, Robert Horry is the quintessential guy you need on the floor because he does not want the ball. Doesn't want it. He would rather you take a shot. But when you give him the ball, he's going to try his best to make it. He'll make an open three if it's open. He's there. He's a threat.
He's trailing to the back of the rim on almost every transition.
Yeah, and he's not afraid to take an open shot or to make it, even a big shot. That's why they called him Big Shot Bob. And also was just a lockdown defender. Really good defender. So you needed him on the court. Not a Steve Kerr type. Steve Kerr was an okay defender, but he was there to shoot threes. Robert Horry was a great defender who could also knock down threes.
Yep.
And just destroy teams in the playoffs. Like, teams in the playoffs would have the Lakers or the Spurs beat dead to rights. And all of a sudden, kick out to Robert Horry, game over.
Yeah, it's not. He wasn't like a volume shooter either. It was just, you know.
He just hit clutch threes. And I think Devin Cambridge has an opportunity to be the kind of guy. If he continues to elevate. It's like what we saw from Devin up until this point was he did nothing to an elite level. He did a lot of things to a really good level and even a really good college level. He's now playing defense at an elite level. So, like Justin Ferguson said, his numbers are comparable to Okoro's numbers when he was at Auburn currently.
That's crazy.
So Devin Cambridge is playing NBA level, first round pick level defense right now. Now, he's older, so he's not obviously going to be a first round pick. But you start doing that kind of stuff and you find your way. He's the kind of guy who finds his way into a summer league invite, finds his way into a G League, and the teams are like, I don't have an excuse to not have him on the court. Right. There's not
an excuse
to not play him.
Tall, long, he can rebound, he can play defense. Like, why wouldn't you have him on? You
know? Right.
He's just a guy like that coming off the bench where you're just not going to have a drop off is like invaluable to any team. So, which we may end up seeing that situation when Alan Flanagan comes back.
We'll get to that for sure. Cause this is probably going to be a basketball only podcast, if I had to guess. I haven't looked at the entire show notes, but.
What else is there talking about?
We'll get off at the coordinators at the end.
Okay, cool. Can't wait. You guys, it's a good tease. Played Yale. Oh, I wanted to mention this. This whole week, all the best players on this team have been guys who weren't here last year, besides Devin Cambridge. And one of those being Walker Kessler, who just...
Yeah. We'll make sure we get his game in against UCF.
Destroyed UCF with a 17-14 game, 6 blocks and 2 steals. Just, they had nothing for him for 40 minutes.
Yeah, we talked about before this game that they did not have the size down low to keep up with him, and it showed. He's really coming on strong. We're kind of hard on him at the beginning of the season about just not being able to finish at the rim, not, you know, not being the strongest guy for his size.
Yeah, I still don't think he's, you know, physicality is not his
room to grow, but he's showing he can be effective, and it doesn't just have to be him trying to put up three or four threes a game.
I mean, I really like his, like, he has the softest touch around the rim. I really like
Yeah, he's really good around the rim.
His hands are the opposite of what we said about Wiley.
Yeah, he, whatever the opposite of cinder blocks are.
Wiley was more of a Lukaku first touch.
Yeah.
Kessler has more of a Neymar first touch.
Baby elephant, I believe, is how that was described.
They can get it done, but not the first touch you want. We don't really talk enough about Kessler because he's kind of like a good running game, too. And that there's going to be games where that it's just not going to work. He's not going to have 17, 16, and five blocks, six blocks. Like, but there are going to be some matchups we have this season where it's like, well, this team's really good, but they're not very big. And all of a sudden, Walker Kessler is just this nightmare for them and gets them out of their game because they cannot defend a seven-foot guy who scores like him and who rebounds like him and who blocks like him. Like, it's just not every team can do it, and the teams that can't have to figure – it puts the onus on their coaching staff to figure out what they do with Kessler as opposed to Auburn having to figure out how are we going to deal with player X from the other team.
Well, and it's funny because he's had that 17-14 game, and he's been playing really well offensively, and that's still without the guards for Auburn nailing down the entry pass. They're still struggling. Yeah. We're just not taking it. You know, a lot of those points came off of rebounds, came off of just kind of dump offs down low.
Because basketball coaches don't teach it anymore. Youth basketball coaches, if you're listening to this, get your kids down on the block. All five of them can do it, and let's learn to entry pass.
Nobody's playing with their back to the goal anymore. So, like, there's no like.
It's funny because the guy with the best entry pass right now is Jabari.
Sure.
Because he can just look over everybody around him
and dump it down in there.
But he's also the best player on the team.
maybe in the country. I don't know. Like, but,
he is an absolute freak. And we can talk about Jabari because against UCF, you know, they didn't really have a lot for him either because.
No, they did not.
He had 20.7 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, shot a blistering 50% from 3.
I don't know. I'm just shaking my head because I've never imagined we'd see anybody
that was
good.
The game where I didn't get to watch the game and was upset because the full highlights weren't on YouTube.
Oh,
and I was like, how did Jabari have 20 points and there are no highlights available for this?
Well, it's weird with him because it's just like it's kind of a quiet 20 something points every night.
Right.
He gets a couple
mid-range shots.
Yeah. You know, he's not like driving in the lane dunking on people every game and
he's
like,
just ending possessions with points.
Yeah, he's just like I mean it looks so easy. It's insane how easy it looks. Just waltzes his way to 20 points every night. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think he is. I mean, he had 20 points in like 22 minutes in that game.
Like it was 20 minute, baby.
Bruce isn't like riding him,
right?
You know what I mean? He's getting 20, 25 minutes a game, and just ultra high production. What's his PER right now? Do we have any idea? Is it?
I haven't checked.
He's a super efficient player, so I'm imagining it's.
Yeah, he's shooting 45% from three. It's not nuts. A high volume guy. While I'm looking, who does his shot look like? I mean, it's one of the most still, beautiful three-point shots I've seen.
It looks like Kevin Durant.
Is that it? I mean, I know
only because of the release points, like 800 feet in the air.
I need to look at it more.
But his lower body is so still where you don't see that from everybody.
Yeah, he keeps his lower body really, really
it's
static.
He's just got the perfect arc.
Because he doesn't have that Ray Allen perfect 2 feet right next to each other, exactly hip distance apart, knees slightly bent. Like Ray Allen is like the video you showed to kids teaching basketball.
Yeah, if you want somebody to learn how to shoot, just watch Ray Allen shoot. That's it.
Okay, PER leaders for Auburn right now, Jabari Smith is a 29.5.
Yeah.
That second on the team.
Good Lord.
Tearing it up right now. Dylan Cardwell, 25.4.
I imagine Dylan's
25.3. Katie Johnson, 23.7. Not also not to mention a walk-on Preston Cook with a 99.3.
99 Preston Cook.
7 minutes played. But.
Nice.
He's drilled a three, so yeah. They've scored 3 points in the 3 minutes that he's played every night.
Preston Cook for the year is 4 of 4 from the field, 3 of 3 from three. And
if I were him, one would think, man, maybe he should play a little more. But if I were him, I'd be like, no. I'm just going
to keep those numbers, man.
Ryan,
these numbers.
Chief and I are going to talk about something real quick to give you time to look something up. So I know you pay for KenPom.
I do.
What is the KenPom comp for Jabari Smith? That's what I want to know. I know that KenPom gives you that information. Chief, would you say, now you've seen Marquise Daniels play at Auburn?
I have.
In Auburn Arena. You've seen, or not, that was in the Beeve.
Weird Eves.
Right. You've seen Chris Porter?
I have.
You've seen Isaac Okoro, obviously, Jumo, Kiki, Jared Harper, Sharif Cooper, all these cats.
KT Harrell,
Nick Chubb.
Vaught?
Right.
Simeon Bowers.
Rob Chubb, not Nick.
Right, sorry, Rob Chubb. On a scale of 1 to 10, where is the Jabari Smith experience? And who is it close to?
Man, he's so much different than all those guys. Like, there's nobody close.
Rob Chubb is probably the closest come.
Yeah.
Shout out to Rob. I like Rob Chubb.
Vaught didn't really. You know, Vaught had a whole different game. Man, I don't. He's unique. I mean, he's not a one of one as. Bill Simmons would call a guy.
Right.
He's a one of one for Auburn, for sure. Like, mm-hmm. there's nothing like him. Is he
the best player you've ever seen play in Auburn Arena? The best player I've ever seen play in Auburn Arena, because I haven't seen Jabari Smith play in Auburn Arena, was John Morant.
Yeah, I mean, John.
That's the best player I've ever witnessed in that arena.
Really good. Yeah, I mean, I don't think Anthony Davis played there.
Auburn played at Kentucky that year.
Yeah, because it was the next year. Nerlens Noel was on the team, and he played there. He's pretty good too. I mean, off the top of my head, not thinking about other guys that have played, I think Jabari is, man. Like, He's just a combination. He's good at defending. He's a freshman that can defend basically anybody.
Yeah.
I don't think he's Isaac Okoro good on defense. But he's way more productive than Isaac is Isaac was on offense. So.
All right. Do we want to go into the comps?
Yeah. Go for it.
Give us a comp. Okay.
So KenPom gives, I think it's like 10 comps. And if we've talked about it before, it's similar position, similar age, size, numbers. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of rates it on a score of up to 1,000. So if you had a Jabari Smith clone, he would be 1,000 of 1,000.
Right.
Next best comp, Quincy Miller, 2012 season. Did that recall that at all?
I do not.
He was at Baylor in 2012.
I don't recall that guy. 2012 was a dark time for Auburn basketball. So.
Yeah, the next highest comp is Bruce Pearl's own Tobias Harris, 2011.
Oh, freshman year. Yeah. Okay.
I'll go through all the guys in this list just really quick. And by the way, it does say guys that played in the NBA versus guys that didn't. Only two of them aren't NBA players. Quincy Miller, Tobias Harris, Harrison Barnes in 2011, Kevin Knox in 2018, Dean Wade, not Dwayne Wade, in 2016. Brandon Ingram in 2016, Dedrick Lawson in 2016, Terrence Jones in 2011, Christian Wofford in 2010, Jason Tatum in 2017.
Man, Brandon Ingram's a good comp. Brandon Ingram's a really good comp. I like him a lot too. He didn't pan out like everybody thought he was going to be. Everybody thought he was the next KD, but he's made a lot of money in the NBA.
So currently Jabari is has a higher defensive rebounding percent than anybody on this list at 26%. It's an insane number. Small sample size, but he's got a higher 3-point percentage than anybody in this list at 44%. Brandon Ingram was the next highest at 410%, or sorry, 41%. Just trying to find some other comparable numbers here.
The thing that just stands out to me about Jabari is how effortless everything seems. And I also like his exuberance. You can tell he just loves every second of it. And but he's just calm. He never seems like he's in a hurry. He never seems like he's under duress at all ever. That's the thing that stands out to me. And honestly, I think there's probably more than a few people that watch Auburn basketball games. If you're not looking at the stats and you just think, oh, this guy, what's he doing? Like, he's just out there. He's not driving a hole and it, like, every time down the floor. He's not hogging the ball. It's not like Marquise, who was the only dude that I don't know what Marquise's usage was, but it had to be insanely high. And
Jabari with the highest assist rate of all these comps, by the way, at 17%.
Yeah, Jabari's I think at least 4 or 5 assists in every game or something crazy like that.
Just looking at the SEC players.
Also the highest steal rate on all these guys in the list too, 3.6%.
Jabari is currently...
So you're telling me he's better than all those guys?
Yeah, he's better than all those dudes.
Without having played conference play yet, yeah.
Yeah.
Currently out of all SEC players, Jabari has the third highest PER in the conference. Behind Oscar...
I'm not going to try that one.
I'm not going to try it. Kentucky center, who I can't remember how he says his name. Tishabiwi? That's not right. Tari Eason, LSU, is number 2, and then Jabari at 3. He is far and away first in offensive box plus minus. He has an offensive box plus minus over 8, and nobody else does. But his PER is 29.5. Shout out, though, Walker Kessler is 9th, and Katie Johnson is 14th. So Auburn has 3 players in the top 15 of all conference players in PER.
Sounds pretty
against
good.
Against a decent schedule so far, too.
All tournament teams.
Auburn hasn't played. Auburn hasn't played a top 10 team necessarily, but we haven't played many bad teams either. Mm-hmm. There's 4 or 5 tournament teams already on the schedule.
I don't know. I don't know enough about Jabari's high school game. I don't know. Was he embarrassing a lot of guys by driving in the lane and dunking on people all the time and stuff?
I mean, his highlight tape it looked like.
I have to imagine his highlight tape in high school looked like him playing against Yale.
The Yale game.
Yeah.
Those poor guys. And then,
are we getting into Yale now?
Yeah, let's get into Yale. Auburn won 3 of the 4 factors. Auburn, and that's Yale's a tournament team.
Yeah.
What is this?
Yale's a tournament team. Well, we played a guy that started in the 1984 hit Miami Vice.
Who did we play?
Tubbs.
Was he the coach? Are you referencing James Jones?
James Jones. No, I'm not. Philip Michael Thomas, a.k.a. Sonny Tubbs, I think Sonny, from Miami Vice, was on this team.
Number 5,
Swain.
There was a player that looked just like Tubbs from Miami Vice.
Just like him.
I didn't follow along this joke.
But Ryan had no idea.
I'm just sitting here listening right now.
He's thinking about the Colin Farrell Miami Vice movie. That wouldn't have been very good.
I haven't seen that one either.
Jamie Foxx.
Not Colin worth Farrell. It. Not worth
Jamie
your time.
Jamie Foxx is Tubbs in that one.
Auburn won against Yale. Auburn won in the 4 factors, had a higher effective field goal percentage, a bit higher with a 52% to Yale's 39%.
Yikes.
Lost the free throw attempted per every free throw field goal attempted battle with only 0.17 of the field goals they attempted, equaling a free throw attempt.
Just call it free throw rate. Call it free throw rate.
Yeah, I know. That's a better name for it, but it's not really a good an explanation of a name. But I like free throw, right? Like, you could say free throw rate, like, what does that mean? Like, how many free throws am I shooting? No, it's for every field goal you attempt, how many free throws did you attempt? Free throw ratio would be a better.
Sure.
Turnover rate. Auburn won that one. Auburn turned over 9% of its possessions. Yale turned it over 16% of its possessions, which was better. They did better against Auburn's defense in that respect than UCF did, because that UCF couldn't get out of their own way. Offense rebound percentage, Auburn won 32% to 29%. Yeah, pretty unbelievable game from the shot blocking perspective, though. 10 blocks by Auburn centers alone, 14 blocks for the Tigers as a team.
And Walker Kessler only played about 10 minutes?
Eight minutes. Eight minutes.
Any update on Walker Kessler? Because he left the game.
So he warmed up in the second half and didn't play.
I think they were just, what do you say, an abundance of caution.
Yeah, it sounds like it was an injury he had picked up already that he was kind of nursing, and then it just got aggravated. He got hacked pretty much after a rebound and went to the floor hard and struggled. You know, took a minute to get back up.
I'm always a bit wary about leg injuries and foot injuries with seven-footers.
I mean, they're just easy to happen.
It just happens, and it's the thing that keeps them off the floor. Like, that is the career killer for seven-footers, just foot problems and leg problems. See one Kristaps Porzingis from my Dallas Mavericks who cannot stay healthy.
Greg Oden and Austin Wilde both hurt.
Yeah. Bill Walton. But you get those leg and foot injuries. Even Shaq, to some extent, missed a ton of time with foot injuries. Chief just didn't. Yeah, he didn't mute. He just yelled at his talks in the microphone.
He yelled Bo and Barkley, so it was Auburn content.
Yeah, Auburn content.
Chief has Auburn Tourette's, is what it sounds like.
My mute button's not working. That's great. Cool.
But yeah, I mean, it was early and often for the Auburn shot blocking. I mean, I think it was of Yale's first 11 shots from the field, Auburn blocked 6 of them. It was just comical every time coming down. It was not good. Kessler had 2 of them in the first 90 seconds or something like that. And it didn't get better. I mean, Yale started to take some outside shots. They weren't really making them, but they were trying at least. And able to avoid some of the blocks in the second half. But then Auburn brought in Stretch. Yeah. Got his first extended run of the year and, you know, picked up 3 blocks in 15 minutes or something like that. He played fantastic defense, and I want to make sure we talk about him. He hasn't really played. I think he had 3 minutes going into this game for the whole season, and he was ready. I mean, he is what he is on the offensive end. You're not playing him because of that. But he's still an elite defender down low.
He really is. And like,
and Auburn needs to go to him. I think Auburn should have gone to him like in the UConn game against Sonogo.
Right.
He would have been right there. And if Kessler's injury lingers a little bit, you know, maybe he comes back on his minutes. Stretch may play some more there.
And even against the guy, if we play against Kentucky, because as you mentioned, their center is tearing the league up. It might be one of those things where Stretch comes in just to give some fouls. Like he's a big body who plays elite defense. And you just at least make the guy think twice about just turning over both shoulders and going to the basket.
Yeah. He almost hit a 3 in this one as well.
Stretch?
His only 2 shots.
Missed that part of the game.
His only two shots were the 2 threes that he attempted. One of them was after a massive block on the defensive end. The ball goes flying. Stretch takes a minute to get back up. And the offense had just set. Stretch comes in at the top of the arc and just steps right into a 3, and it was so close.
Stretch. Step
in 3.
I'm so sorry, but your shot is so bad.
On a scale of one to Anthony McLemore, how unnatural is it?
It is the most, one of the most unnatural looks I've ever seen.
It's Horace's shot. I mean,
oh, great.
It is not as Horace's
it's
shot.
It's Horace's better. Shot it before worse. He spent an entire offseason working on it.
Okay, well, all right. can we? Well, now that you bring it up, can we talk about how Walker Kessler is not shooting better from three than Horace Spencer?
Hey, Walker made a couple already.
It's true.
He's taking
his
a
shot
lot.
Actually looks good. It's just they all like kind of get there, but not really.
Dylan Cardwell. I mean, we like you said, had like, we had a kind of a center by committee. But he, I mean, Carl came in 10-6-3. Like, that's a good game. Three blocks, two assists.
Yeah, he had a great game.
Yeah, and I think eight of those points were within a two-minute stretch early in the second half.
That's a high-energy guy for you.
Yeah.
Buddy.
Yeah.
He is.
A couple dump-offs to him.
He's on fire in this game.
I think him and King Johnson are just, like, trying to figure out who can bring the most energy to the team.
It really does
competition of some sort.
They're like, we should start taking bets. We need like a prop bet for which one of them gets teed up for going insane after they do something cool.
This is what I wanted to say. We thought it might be Cardwell or Katie Johnson, you know, getting a little too excited at times.
Yeah.
It's Jabari Smith.
Yeah, Jabari has gotten teed up already.
Three times this year.
He has three times.
Is it two or three? Did he actually get teed up in the Yale game?
No, he didn't, but he got a very strict warning.
Yeah.
There's actually a highlight that I missed in the arena where he dunks on a guy, I guess, opposite of where we usually sit, Chief. Mm. And
courtside. They say courtside.
He's letting this poor Yale kid have it. He's letting this poor kid have it. He looks at the ref, puts his hand over his mouth, and walks away.
Yeah, I saw that at home.
He knew.
He talks mad trash. It's crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, he got offsetting techs in the UCF game and had one in Atlantis against Syracuse. Yeah.
So. Did we know before this weekend that he was Kwame Brown's cousin?
I did not know that.
He is Kwame Brown's cousin?
I think I saw that on Wikipedia last week, but I don't think I mentioned it.
Didn't his dad play in the NBA?
Yeah, his dad, Jabari Smith Sr.,
played at LSU, played in the league for a couple years.
And so he has his father who played in the NBA, and then his cousin was a number one overall pick, Kwame Brown.
Yeah, that's about as the best you can say about him.
And like, the king of the post-NBA career, no one knows what you're doing, then all of a sudden you get on Instagram and you start bringing smoke to people who have criticized you.
That, but wasn't he...
Have you seen those videos, like, Chief?
No, I have not.
Bro, okay. You got to watch Kwame Brown answers critics. Some player, Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes have a podcast called The Smoke Podcast, something like that. It's a good podcast, but they kept referencing him as a bust. Uh-huh. Biggest bust in NBA history, blah, blah, blah. And he just goes on Instagram Live and just starts roasting these dudes in a way that's like, okay, if they ever saw each other, Grandma's gonna beat them. Like, just gonna whip them like they're his kids. Not like a, we're gonna fight, but like, I'm gonna fight you so, I'm gonna beat you so badly, people will think that something's going on.
He is one of the reasons that we have the one and done rule.
Right.
Basically. He was Michael Jordan's first huge mistake. Because that was the Wizards.
Yeah, they got to him first overall for the Wizards out of high school in Brunswick, Georgia. And he just couldn't catch.
Well, a lot
well
of people
enough.
Think Michael Jordan ruined him.
Well, and yeah, Michael Jordan got all, what happened, but what turned out was that Michael Jordan apparently has turned him into the angriest man in the world. And according to these videos, Kwame learned a lot from Mike when it comes to just belittling other people. And I recommend anybody watching these things. They are hilarious. And him answering his critics. Because his comment is, I was not a bust. Nobody who makes it to the NBA is a bust. I bought my mom a house.
He still played for 12 seasons.
He played for 12 years in the NBA. Yeah. He said, I bought my mom a house on a golf course when I was 17 years old. I'm not a failure.
Yeah.
He's like, look.
It's true.
And he's right. And you know what he did? He bought a bunch of land in South Georgia somewhere.
Yeah.
And when he left the league, he moved on to his property and doesn't leave. Like, he's as country as it gets.
That sounds like the dream right there, living the dream. So, to bring it back to Auburn.
He's Jabari Smith's cousin.
Yeah, he's Jabari Smith's cousin. Jabari's, got that kind of a year that he can talk to a guy that can give him advice. His dad, also NBA player. So,
maybe taught him how to talk some little shit.
One would think Jabari may have played some pickup games with his cousin, and I'm sure there is some mad trash talk going on there. So, but I mean, it obviously, it seems like it comes from a good place. Like, I mean, if you've ever played pickup anywhere that's not, church league. Actually, church league can be as bad as any place with trash talk.
Yes.
It's just a part of the game, and I know people don't like it, and it can get out of hand, obviously. If you can back it up, whatever, man.
This team seems to be able to do it in a way that it never feels like they're about to get in a fight or anything. And you see that sometimes where games kind of just get chippy and out of hand.
KD and Philip Michael Thomas almost got into it. There was a fracas that had to be separated.
Was that the kid that was complaining a lot about a foul and almost got teed up himself, the Yale player?
Maybe. Can't remember. It's number 5 is who KD.
Yeah, I think that was him.
Swain.
Yeah. But we also got to shout out Devin Cambridge again. We talked about him earlier, but he had a double double in this game, second of his career, 10 and 10. Did you hear his quote after the game? You're talking to him. I think it was when he was talking to Andy, and he said, "Yeah, I've been trying to get some more rebounds. It's something." He's been working on the offseason, but he had to get Walker out of the game first to be able to pick him up. So that was a strategy today, was to get Walker.
That's funny. I thought Devin had a really good game without even looking at the stats. I mean, obviously I knew he scored 10 points, but he was good. He's, like Crow said, he's great at defending. And honestly, that Yale team is like the exact – we're just a complete nightmare for them because we are way taller than they are.
They only had, I think, 13 minutes of anybody taller than 6'6 playing in this game.
Yeah, that's bad news when you're playing this Auburn team. Despite our, guards being pretty short other than Devin. I did want to talk about this because I heard Bruce talking about this after the UCF game. He actually referred to us as playing four guards rather than just the three, which we had talked about before. Anybody that's watched this team, it kind of seems pretty obvious that like we only have one guy inside and everybody else is kind of out around the perimeter, but. And one of those guards is Jabari Smith, who is 6'10".
Just him. Yeah,
Jalen Williams, who's 6'7", right?
6'9", I believe.
6'9", oh, nice. And then you have Devin, who's also really tall. Lior's not short himself. Lior's probably 6'5".
Yeah, 6'4".
6'4", 6'5".
So we've seen that you're talking about the four guard look, but even they've taken Cambridge and Moore off the court some and played like some combination of Wendell, Zepp, KD, or Lior. Mm-hmm. So they played three of those guys together in almost every game going back to Atlantis. And it's a different look. They've got those three guys out there, and usually one of whoever's on the court with them, Jabari or Jalen, is the other guy bringing it up court with whoever's playing point guard.
Yeah.
So you've got those two other guards already down in position to take threes. What's Bruce trying to do here? I mean, it's not a strategy I think we'll see much, especially once Bland gets back.
Maybe.
It's also not something we've really done in previous years, because Auburn the last couple of years especially has been short on guard depth, so that they couldn't even try this. So
right.
It's a new look.
Especially we've got guard depth, and we've got guards who can shoot, and we've got a guy in Jabari that can play an effective big man position, even though he's also the best at the wing. But this just creates matchups. It's like when the Warriors used to do this all the time and put Draymond at the center and just run four guards with Draymond. And it was, they called it the death lineup, because they couldn't do it for a long period of time. But when they would run it, teams just couldn't defend it, because you had four shooters on the court at the same time, and then a guy who could still effectively get rebounds. And then on defense, guard the basket. So, like, Bruce is able to put three or four shooters on the court without having to sacrifice rim protection, because Jabari's more than capable of blocking shots. It's just it's a look that he's given teams in the future, too. Like, if a team wants to go small against Auburn, which teams will go real small against Auburn to get Walker Kessler off the floor.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say, look, we got to get him off the court, so we're just going to play a bunch of guards. Bruce is saying, we can do that too.
Yeah, we got four. And we'll still, if when Flank comes back, we'll still have four.
And we'll still have four. And we'll put Jabari at the five, and that'll be it. Like, it'll be, and Jalen can play one if he has to. Like, he's a guard, to be honest. Like, he's as effective at bringing the ball off the court as anybody else. So, yeah it's, he is preparing, I believe, for the eventuality of a team trying to go small against Auburn to exploit a matchup that's not even there.
Yeah, I think it's it's good practice, because you never know what you're going to run up against in the tournament, and it's working, so might as well just keep doing it as much as we can. Jabari is a cheat code. I mean, that's all there really is to it.
He makes it really hard to live tweet the games, because I can only say that so many times without it getting boring. So I got to think up some more things to describe
it. All he is, I mean, it's just an accurate thing.
All right, let's take a quick break, come back, and we'll break down the Cornhuskers.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And we're back. 52 minutes, 23 seconds into this podcast. If you're still listening, congratulations to you, because you're going to hear the best breakdown of the Nebraska Cornhuskers you have heard today. Auburn plays Nebraska on Saturday, which is interesting because I thought the Big 12 SEC Challenge wasn't for a couple more weeks.
Oh,
yeah.
Playing a Big 10 team, bro.
It's usually around here.
I hear what you're saying, Ryan, but they'll always be the Big 12 to me.
Is this in Lincoln? Sorry.
This is not in Lincoln. This is
here.
Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I can't go to it because I have a prior engagement. So
that's too bad.
Yeah, this is part of the Holiday Hoopsgiving event. There's four games at State Farm Arena that on that Saturday. I know there's LSU's playing Clemson, I believe. Georgia Tech's playing Ole Miss. I forgot what the other matchup is. But Auburn gets the early slots, playing bright and early, some breakfast basketball at 10:30 a.m. Central Time. Doing this research on Nebraska, it's interesting because their results have been awful this year. They're 5-4 against a really bad schedule. They're 293rd strength of schedule in the country this year. And their best win is only against number 216, Sam Houston State.
So this is not a tournament team. Is that what you're saying?
Not a tournament team, but their KenPom rating is 102nd.
Oh.
So their stats aren't necessarily the worst. They're just their results have been not great at all.
Sounds like their football team.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is this Nebraska's exactly like thing? No.
It's interesting because they have, like I said, been decent and with most of their stats, except for rebounding. They are one of the worst rebounding teams in the country, and not because they're short. I'm not entirely sure what the problem is, but they're 243rd in offensive rebounding, 298 in defensive rebounding. They're allowing opposing offenses to rebound at about 33% of the time. Auburn's also rebounding at 33% on offense. But remember what I said, their schedule is 293rd in the country, so they're making that schedule look like Auburn every game. Should be something we could take advantage of.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, sounds like it.
So they are they don't rebound well. Yikes. And
not good news for them.
I'll say it so Ryan doesn't have to. They don't shoot well from three.
I mean, the number I saw is so bad that I don't even think Ryan could jinx this particular.
But they're shooting an okay clip from two. Not incredible.
Last I checked, though, three is greater than two.
In most cases.
In most cases, but if you shoot what they're shooting from two, yeah. You don't really have to.
All right, so we've talked about it. It's if you shoot 1.5 times better from two, it's the same as three, right? It's
right.
The same rate.
Exactly. It's 50%.
Where are they finding these guys that are so good at shooting mid-range shots?
Nebraska.
They are shooting 27% from three and 55% from two. They're more than double better at two.
They should shoot only twos.
They should, but they're about middle of the road of the country as far as how many threes they shoot. So hopefully we can make them keep doing that.
Were they previously good at threes and they're just in a funk? Like what?
I'm not totally sure. I haven't looked at their numbers.
No. I imagine it's a bunch of dudes important in like Converse All Star shooting like 2 foot sets, like 2 foot down set shots.
A lot of floaters.
Nebraska last year. It's even worse last year. Better from three. They were 33% from three last year and only 47% from two. But that was good for 253rd overall effective field goal percentage.
They've got a couple of decent players though. Like
this
kid Verge, Alonzo Verge. You'll be hearing about him a ton because he will have the ball the whole game.
What was he? 98% usage.
He's a 32% usage.
32.
It's a Marquise Daniels. Regular
that is
Marquise
a lot.
Daniels.
32% is a lot.
And a lot of that is from his assist rate, though. He's sixth in the country in assist rate, so he's dishing the ball a lot. Doesn't really shoot any threes. He's mostly when he's shooting the ball, he's going to the rim, like I said.
Because he's a big guard.
6'3", he's got good size for a point guard.
I'd love to have a 6'3 point guard.
Yeah. I'm pretty happy with our guards right now.
Oh, they're fine. Just I'd give them a few inches.
I'm gonna tell Katie Johnson you said he was fine.
I know Katie Johnson's great. He's not a point guard. I mean,
Katie Johnson's already the starting point guard on the Chief All Stars, which is like Katie Johnson, Malik at the two, Horace at the five. We're still working for a 3 and a 4 there. Rob Chubb at the four.
Chubb at the five.
Yeah.
No, I'll take Horace at the five.
Send me on Bowers at the two.
Sam.
He's pretty solid as a point guard. He's going to dish the ball pretty well. And this team is what they do well in offense is keep those turnovers down. They're really good at taking care of the ball, and they play fast, which I think is an interesting mix for how Auburn's going to defend.
Yeah,
they're ninth in the country in offensive tempo, so they're going to play fast, and they're good at not turning the ball over. I wonder what that means for Auburn's press. Should we double down on it? Do we pull back on it?
Yeah, Auburn has to be who it is. I think doesn't have to worry about Nebraska. Just press. I'm going to see Bryce McGowan's because he's a top 25 recruit, plays a lot, scores a lot, and just see he's 6'7" kids. I wonder if – I mean, I bet him and Jabari will be matched up most of the game, so I'm excited to see that happen.
He actually plays more like between the two and the three and less power forward. So he's kind of – he's a wing and he gets to the free throw line a lot, which is where a lot of his scoring comes from. He's going to put a lot of pressure on Auburn to, because Auburn's going to try and block those shots at the rim. Going to put a lot of pressure on the Auburn front court to not foul him.
All right, let's move on along to football. We end the show with football. Yeah, we got to hire an offensive coordinator. They fired Bobo for not running the ball. And we got three options. Maybe by the time you hear this podcast, a hire will be made.
Yeah. It seemed like the favorite coming out of the weekend was going to be Zach Hill, OC at Arizona State. He was Harsin's OC the last couple years at Boise. Runs, you know, where he worked for Herm Edwards, obviously, so it's kind of an NFL-esque offense with a lot of creative running. I mean, what we talked about from Harsin's offense at Boise is what he's doing at Arizona State. So that's one of his guys. But there might be some compliance issues there. Arizona State's getting looked at by the NCAA for some recruiting violations, which I think mainly just come down to they had guys on campus during COVID. So
right.
If it's not him, it seems like the other two big names going around right now are Jeff Grimes, former Auburn offensive line coach, currently at Baylor, and then Del McGee, former Auburn running back coach at Georgia. Del would be the best recruiting option. He's one of the best recruiters in the country. We've been wanting to get him out of Georgia for a while, I think. But he's still a position coach, so maybe get a chance to be the coordinator gets him back home.
He's my least exciting on-field option.
Sure.
Because I don't want anything to do with what George has been trotting out there on offense recently. Like, nothing to do with it.
But their running backs have been awesome.
Here's the deal.
And hey, let's let Harsin do the offense. We got to go back to the Gus era of who's calling the plays.
No, Harsin can't call the plays. He's already said that. He's not going to call plays.
I just wonder about Del McGee because to this point he has not had a position where he could show that he has some sort of overarching offensive philosophy. So you know, I don't know. We don't know anything about
that's
it.
That's true. He might hate the Georgia offense.
He might be more of an air raid guy. That's true. I'm just saying.
You had to watch it as much as he does. I'm sure he hates it.
He has no experience.
I don't think he's the one playing Stetson Bennett every week.
That's what I want to know. If he has anything to do with that call, I don't want him because he came out to figure out.
I don't think he has any experience calling plays, and this job's just too big for that to be his first time to do that, in my opinion.
I like the idea of him recruiting. I like the idea of Jeff Grimes coming in recruiting.
Former player, it'd be great to have him back home and not in Georgia more than anything else. But
I'm not going to complain about it, but it's just not going to be – it wouldn't. It's not like – I'm not as excited about it as everybody else seems to be.
The Zach Hill thing, they didn't exactly tear it up with having more talent than everybody else in their conference together back at Boise, but – it's somebody he knows, somebody he trusts. At this point, I just we might as well just sink or swim with whatever Harson wants to do, and I'd rather have somebody on the same page with him. So let's just, if that's the guy he wants to hire, let's do it. But as it seems to be, there's some compliance issues just because there's a little bit of NCAA trouble in Arizona State, and we're sorting through that at the moment, trying to
decide. As there should be. Arizona State, I'm not speaking ill of their program, Arizona State is a program that should be violating NCAA guidelines any chance they get.
Yeah, yeah. And has been recently.
Yeah. I mean, they got caught doing it. who knew Herm Edwards would be a weird hire? Who could have predicted?
He has been weird. Yeah. Not like bad, but just like unpredictable. No one could have thought he would have been as good. His first year, they almost won the Pac-12. And then,
interesting.
He was okay since then.
Yeah. But I mean, Jeff Grimes is the one that excites me just because I just remember 2010. I remember how good our offensive line has been, and we have flat out struggled there ever since he's been gone. It's just been an area where we've had some success from time to time, but nothing consistent. And I'd love to have somebody that knows how to bring that back to us.
Would you take hiring? And I'm not saying he was bad as offense at Baylor. Obviously, they won the Big 12 this year. But would you take Jeff Grimes if it meant Auburn was going to have a bad offense next year, but he was going to sign 6 blue chip offensive linemen?
1,000% yes.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because I don't think we're going to be any good next year anyway, just unless something changes, unless we get a bunch of dudes out of the portals miraculously to play on that offensive line.
And that's a good segue to what's going to happen next week. Recruiting expert, AU Nerd will be on next week for a full breakdown.
Bring our guy on. Recruit early signing day, I believe, is the middle of next week.
We'll
bring him on Monday, kind of give us a little preview. The one thing, I think, interesting tidbit from today, after the coaching carousel, the last week has been insane. We don't have to get into all that, but with Cristobal going to Miami from Oregon.
My beloved Hurricanes.
This is Darius Clemens, big-time wide receiver out of Oregon. 6'4 guy with sub-4.40. It's a lot of force. He was between Auburn and Oregon, committed to Oregon previously, but Cristobal gone. Might come back to us.
I'm trying to figure out how he's just a four-star. Just based on the size and speed.
I'm gonna guess. Playing Oregon high school football doesn't help.
And Alabama didn't offer him.
Well, because they're gonna offer 4 5-stars. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, they could have offered him too, and then he would have been a 5-star, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
Hopefully that happens. That'd be great. That would. I'm sure some other people would still just make some grumbling excuses about how bad our recruiting class is, but we'll see. I'm looking forward to having a Nerd on to talk, maybe try to talk some people off the edge of talking about how bad our recruiting class is, because guess what? It ain't over yet, and there's a lot of people in the portal right now, so hopefully we can take advantage of that as well.
All right. We will see y'all next week. Have a worrying weekend.